House Appropriations subcommittees are trying to balance the 2016 budget by taking a little bit of money from some agencies and giving it to others. The IRS and the Education Department are two agencies that might see some of their money move to places like justice and transportation. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and tracking the money as the House appropriators do some budget math. And I want to be careful to point out that when I use the term balancing the 2016 budget, that's not vis-a-vis the deficit that I'm implying. That's not anywhere close to happening. David, just suggesting that this kind of back and forth of taking a little bit of here to give a little bit there is what they're trying to do to get to the Budget Control Act numbers and the top lines that are called for in the budget resolution. I'm on track there, right, David?
That's right. I would say it's balancing balancing the various demands of all the agencies against the political reality of the moment, which mm-hmm. is. Congress is an all-Republican institution that's trying to get bills signed by a Democratic president, and the leaders of the House Appropriations Committee, and principally at this point just one man, Hal Rogers, the Kentucky Republican who is in his final term now as chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, is trying to find the sweet spot where he can get these bills written in a way that they'll pass, and that the Senate will not scoff at them, and that maybe they'll even get signed.
Your colleagues Tamar Hollerman and Kerry Young write a terrific story that's on CQ, and we'll put a link to it later at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Your colleagues write, the numbers suggest the GOP committee leaders are serious about trying to negotiate with Democrats to get as many bills as possible to the president's desk this year. That sounds to me like a really, 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 really good sign, given all the conversations about budgets and shutdowns and blah, 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 blah that you and I have had over the last several years.
It is a good sign, and it is the right observation for them to make, and I'm glad they made it, because I might not have seen it that way if they hadn't made it. But it is, and for example, and I think their story says this, that a year ago they were talking about something like a 10% cut in the money for this one bill that takes care of the labor, health, and human services and education departments. It's the largest domestic spending bill, and my memory was that last year it was something like 10% they wanted to cut that, and they thought, well, we can do that, and House Republicans will vote for it, but who cares what anybody else thinks. This year, I believe it's more like a 2% cut, and they think they can live with a 2% cut. That they can get, that even the most, all but the most very, very conservative Republicans will vote for it, and maybe some Democrats will too. And who knows, maybe they'll even get the president to sign it. So, yes, a very good sign. What is too early in the process to say yet is what else is going to be added to these appropriations bills that'll make the whole thing become more complicated. What other policy decisions, the so-called policy riders that will inevitably get added onto these appropriations bills as they move through the process, that will, in an all-Republican Congress, will almost certainly be designed to reward conservative thinking and stick the thumb in the nose of the president.
And I think there's a lot of significance to the fact that the second or third paragraph of your colleague's stories deals with the labor HHS bill, because you've told me before that's one of the most contentious ones on the entire list. Now, you said on this program last week that the Milcon bill is the shortest putt in the tourney. So using that analogy, labor HHS is like a 50-foot putt on a horrible green with a big hump in the middle, right?
That's right, and where they might even move the pin in the middle of the
right.
Yes, that is exactly right. It is, not only does that bill contain a disproportionate share of programs that many Republicans just don't even think should be in the federal bailiwick. It's at the same time they are the programs that base Democrats, members of the Democratic base, think the most fondly about, and it's the bill that has the most potential for these riders, things to go after the Common Core curriculum or labor rules in dealing with unions. You name it. There's dozens of different of these riders that they could think of.
So let's look at some of these individual bills. Rogers proposing to trim funding for the financial services and interior environment spending bills by roughly $1.57 billion, $246 million, respectively. And those look like they're cuts of in the low single-digit percentages. Appropriators then would give Commerce, Justice, Science, and Transportation HUD targeted increases of $1.2 billion and $1.5 billion, respectively, plus more for state and foreign ops. So this really is kind of, it sounds like it's kind of the old school move it around a little bit here off the top and a little bit added onto the top there that we saw back in the old days.
That's right. And one thing to keep in mind is when people will throw around terms like small cut, big, you know, the term a small cut or a small increase. And when you think, and there's obviously two ways of looking at the federal budget numbers, you know, these are small increases or decreases when it comes to percentages. But if, you know, if you're at a minor, you know, a relatively modest program or even not so modest program, we're talking about tens of millions or a couple of billion dollars here. Those are enormous amounts of money that have to do with who can get hired, who doesn't get rehired, which programs survive, which projects keep going.
Your colleagues write a little bit about the roadblocks that are ahead here, and the main one sounds like it's the policy rider business that you've already referred to.
It is, and the whole area of policy riders that we haven't yet talked about, which is, I think, probably going to be the most ripe for Republican attacks, is on the environment. If for no other reason than Mitch McConnell, now the Republican majority leader, who's state is historically reliant on the coal economy, you know, has made it his, if not his life's work, then a principal goal of his time as the majority leader to do what he can to stop the Obama administration from doing federal regulations that would limit climate change and thereby harm the coal industry.
But you have an interesting story referring to Senator McConnell, right? It's one of your top stories at rollcall.com. About the relationship with the new Senate to the White House. And it's Sean Zeller's story. The new GOP majority in 2015 is voting Obama's way as often as they ever have. That is another thing that I'll throw on the pile of, you know, possible good ideas when it comes to this whole concept of trying to get budgets through. It appears there's at least some effort where it's possible, and I understand it's maybe not that many places yet,
right.
But where possible, they're trying to build some goodwill so that when the time comes, they can try to have some good faith negotiations, it appears.
I think you're exactly on track in both what you're observing and in adding that caveat that it's early yet, right? I mean, I think we are now in our 13th week of legislating this year. So take away all the recess weeks aside, I think the Senate has now met for 12 weeks, maybe the House for one less.
Yeah, but that's a quarter of the way through, David.
It's a quarter of the way through the year. This is the time where, you know, and there are some measurements that show that it's a slightly less dysfunctional year than in the past. And the fact that, you know, as we've talked about several times, does look like they're going to get a budget resolution this year, and that in and of itself is a first in, if not modern times, then at least last few years. So, yes, there are some reasons to be optimistic that maybe they've bottomed out on the kind of standoff, partisanship, polarized standoff dysfunction. And you're right, they're going to try and bank some agreements early. Some of your listeners may be familiar with the change in the way Medicare pays doctors. That was a relatively big breakthrough right before the spring break. Yes, I think that the Republicans are trying to bank some accomplishment and some deal cutting early just to show they can do it, to maybe get out of second gear and go into third gear, and show the Republicans, both Republican leaders, Boehner and McConnell, showing their most conservative members that those most conservative members in this new world might not have the kind of influence that they have for the past few years.
Yeah, I think the doc fix issue that you just mentioned is something that is another very good sign. It's not something we really talked about on this program because it doesn't really affect a dramatic, a huge part of the Federal News Radio listening audience or reading audience, but it is a terrific sign, I think, in the context of what we're talking about here, because essentially, Congress, through a bipartisan agreement, through the old process of compromise and negotiation, made something disappear forever that has been a contentious issue year after year, time after time after time after time. that affects a tremendous amount of people in the general population. That's a big deal that I don't think we made a big deal about enough, those amongst us who cover this stuff.
No, I think you're right. I think the fact that this deal was actually negotiated by, you know, no lesser people in the congressional food chain than Speaker Boehner and Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi themselves. I mean, they actually, you know, just the fact that they would meet
mm-hmm.
is news. I mean, there was a time that where Boehner and Pelosi seemed barely on speaking terms, but apparently they actually got in a room together and said, "Let's do a deal," and they did. So. Hope springs eternal.
Well, one thinks that it's possible. Well, the one person's me thinks that it's possible that momentum, you know, moves in whatever way it moves. And if the momentum now is in a positive way like this, that can only be good.
Right. I mean, and just to say what the theme that both Boehner and McConnell have said for the year, which is that now that they're in charge, they know that the voters want them to get some stuff done, and they, you know, they're committed to trying to make that happen because they know they've been given the keys to the car, and they better drive it someplace that the voters like.
I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that this momentum continues and that people will look outside and see the spring and think it's time for a new way to do things, the kind of a whole rebirth line of thinking, and maybe we'll see some good things happen.
Okie doke.
You don't sound very optimistic.
I think they've got nowhere to go but sideways.